good, we will end earlier because it's going to get cooler the longer we're in this room, unless the power comes back on. And I will try to talk louder, even though got a little bit of a congestion thing going on, so we'll do our best. But we're thankful for your presence this morning. This is, we said last week, a couple weeks ago, this will be last Sunday with us for Wes and Shelby and the kids, and they'll be moving here next weekend down to Alabama. And so we continue to pray for them and hope they'll be back with us very soon to visit, and just pray the Lord blesses them in their time there in Huntsville. So we're very thankful for them. Also remember our dinner on Saturday night across the street. Those who sign up for that, we'll meet 4 o'clock next Saturday, have a good dinner together, and be thankful for our blessings this time of the year. We are indeed blessed by your presence and the time we have this morning to worship the Lord together. Let's go to our Father in prayer before we begin. Father, we're thankful that we have the opportunity and the blessing this morning to worship you, to come together in this place and share these things and to praise you for who you are. Praise you for sending your Son to die for us on the cross. We're thankful that you have loved us, taken care of us, and given us your word in which to study and know and understand your will for our lives. We are thankful that you've given us this congregation of people to love one another and to bless one another and rejoice when we rejoice and weep with those who weep. We are thankful that we have this support here in this community. We pray that you bless Wes and Shelby, bless their travels, and bless their stay in Alabama, that they may be faithful there as they work here and serve you in any way that they can. We're thankful the ways they blessed us during their time here. And we are thankful for all of our families who are with us and who help us do so much to advance the cause of Christ. Bless our study this morning as we consider the things that are spiritual, so we may be better Christians this week than we were last week. Continue to love us and forgive us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to think this morning about why we have so much pain. Why do we have so much pain in this life? I found this week. Man had written this, true story. He said Dwayne had dedicated his life as a preacher of the gospel. His daughter died 2 years ago while giving birth to her first child, and his wife had a leg amputated a few months ago as a consequence of cancer. Dwayne is now told that he has lung cancer, and within a few weeks he is dead. His widow continues her battle against cancer without him. Why? 4 high school teenagers are coming home following a narrow victory in a high school football game. They're hit by a truck and killed. Why? David is a fine young Christian man with a wife and small son. A few months before their second child is to be born, David is badly burned in a welding accident and dies a few weeks later. Why? All these stories are true. Why does such have to happen? Why is there so much pain? There was a Persian king, man who became king, that wanted his educators and historians and scholars to write a history of the people of the earth. And so they spent years doing this, and they approached him after a few decades with 6,000 volumes of books, saying, "This is the history of man." And he said, "Well, now I'm so old, how can I read all of these books and find out really what is the story of man? Because I want to have wisdom. I want to be a better king. I want to be the best I can be. So I need to know what the story of man is, but now I can't even read all this. So he said, you have to condense it down to one book. And so then they took the time to condense 6,000 books into one book. And they brought it to him, and he said, well, now I've got this volume, but now I'm dying. I'm on my deathbed. And I don't even have the time now to read this one book of the history of God's history of the world, history of man. And he said, just summarize it for me. Whittle it down to one sentence. And so the leading historian just looked at him and said, King, they were born, they suffered, and they died. And with all the things you could say about any person who's ever lived, whether they were a popular person, a famous person, whether their name was not known by many and didn't have many friends, whether they invented something, whether they were rich, whether they were poor, no matter what walk of life, you can write volumes about that person's life, but really if you broke it down into one sentence and you took away all the things related even to their faith, those three sentences can apply to all of us. They were born, they suffered, and they died. Every single person who's ever lived is going to face pain. The first fundamental fact I want us to understand and know, it's something that you already know, I'm just simply reminding you that every person on this earth has pain. We cannot look at somebody else and say, wow, they never have any pain. I mean, now when you look on the internet, when you look online at different websites, what we call social media, where you can post pictures of what's going on in your life and tell stories about things, and people anywhere in the world can look at it and say, wow, look at that life. I wish I had their life. Look at all the places they go. Look at all the things their kids are doing. Look at all the great things in their life. They never seem to be sick. They never seem to have problems. Wow, I have all this pain and they have no pain. Well, we know that people just show others what they want others to see. Every single person on this earth, whether faithful or unfaithful, rich or poor, man or woman, feels pain, has to suffer in this life. When it comes to pain, there's universal suffering. There are a lot of false views. I want to think of a few false views, first of all, about pain and about suffering in life. Because a lot of people believe these things. There's a lady many years ago, you may have remembered the name, from a few decades ago. She was popular for a while in culture. But the leader of the Christian Scientist movement was named Mary Becker Eddy. Mary Baker Eddy once said, suffering is an illusion. She said that really we just imagine the pain that goes on. It's just all about perspective. There's really not suffering. And that sounds really strange to us and doesn't make a lot of sense. And there are a lot of people who believe that, but there are some who think it's just sort of a get over it kind of thing. Well, no reason you're going through pain. Yes, you break your leg, that hurts. Our bodies respond to pain physically that way, but anything else is just how you think about it. And all you gotta do is just change your mind about it, and you're not gonna feel any pain. Well, we know that's not true, but we know some people think that. It's a false view. We have some also who think that suffering in this world is only caused by sin people commit. There's really no other reason why pain happens. If you have pain in your life, well, you just need to be more faithful. You need to do things right. You need to get closer to God, and you'll stop feeling all this pain. You'll stop having a lot of suffering. And some people believe this, they don't realize they believe it. Have you ever known somebody to think, well, I did this right, and this right, and this right. Why am I hurting so much? Why do bad things keep happening in my life when I've done all these right things? See, they're not saying that sin causes all the problems, but really that's what they're saying. They're really saying that now if I was a sinner and I did bad thing, bad thing, bad thing, then I should be hurting. Sin causes all the bad things, and I just don't involve myself in a lot of sins, at least the big ones. You know, they thought that 2,000 years ago. Remember when they came to Jesus and said, hey, here's this guy that's blind. Who's sinned? I mean, he's blind. Somebody made a mistake. Somebody sinned along the way. They said, maybe his parents had sinned and this was a curse that the child would be blind. Is that what happened here? We know how Jesus responded to that. He says, no, it didn't have anything to do with sin. Some people are blind. Some people are born with handicaps. Some people are injured later. Some people get diseases. Not all suffering. Now, some suffering is caused by sin, but we cannot say that all the suffering in the world is a direct cause of some sin somebody committed. Suffering is only caused by one sin, some people believe, but that's wrong. It's not biblical at all. Another false view is that, well, I'm suffering and it's God's fault. It's false to think suffering is an illusion. It's false to think that sin causes all the suffering. It's also wrong to think that, well, it's just God's fault. God's doing this. God made it this way. If God loved me more, I wouldn't hurt. If God loved me more, I wouldn't have pain. I wouldn't suffer at all. Well, you read the first two chapters of the Bible and show me the pain that God created. Where in the first two chapters of Genesis do we see God saying, let there be pain? And it's very good. I didn't read that verse. We see all the things God made and he never said, let there be pain and that's going to be great. That's just the way I want the world to be. Not his fault, not even temptation. Remember, James said that. James said when somebody is tempted, he should not say, I am being tempted by God. He said, God cannot be tempted, and he doesn't tempt anyone. God's not in the business of creating pain. God's not in the business of even tempting you and leading you to pain. We shouldn't say it's an illusion. Pain is real. We shouldn't say that all suffering is a result of sin. We shouldn't say it's all God's fault. There's just some fundamental truths when it comes to pain, when it comes to suffering. We need to remember, first of all, that God's natural laws create order and they create disorder. God's natural laws create order and disorder. What do I mean by that? Science tells us that two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. This Bible is in this place. Can't put something else there. If I try to put something else in that place, what's going to happen? They'll knock the Bible over. And something else is going to go there. Two cars can't occupy the same space driving through an intersection. So they collide and they hit each other. And somebody gets hurt. Well, God made the law of all the science that moves those cars forward. All the science that makes that engine in the car. All the science that goes into making anything that we have in this earth. God makes order. God gave us natural laws. God gave gravity. Invented gravity. And sometimes things fall out of the sky and hit people. Because two things can't occupy the same space. And when those two things hit, somebody gets hurt. God's laws are created order. It creates nature. It creates seasons. It creates vegetation. It creates a world that we can live in comfortably. But it also creates disorder. And when things collide and when things go on, I mean, God invented fire. But we also know that when it contacts something else, fire can burn something down and hurt people. God created his natural laws, made order, but also made disorder. And when that disorder happens, when things collide, when things go the way they weren't really intended, then pain exists. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but just need to be reminded of that. God's natural laws, when put into effect, when man gets involved, when man's choices get involved, all of a sudden we can have pain as a result of just this world we live in. We also need to remember, not only did God's laws create order and disorder, but also, if man cannot make choices, the man is no longer a man. And I mean mankind. I don't mean men, I mean mankind. If he can't make choices, then what is he? He's a puppet. He's a robot. He's a machine. He's something else, but he's not a man. She's something else, but she's not a woman. When you go back to the first two chapters of Genesis, and you see where God made man. God made man differently than he made everything else. Let us make man in our image. Let us make man differently. Man has choice. He's not a robot. He's not a machine. He's not programmed. We need to remember that men make choices. Mankind, men and women, make choices. If we couldn't make choices, we wouldn't be men and women. We couldn't have a relationship with God because we'd be programmed to have a relationship with God. It wouldn't be a choice. When man makes choices, that means man can also make the wrong choice. Man can do foolish things. Man can be wrong. Man can be ignorant. Choose not to be educated. And introduce all sorts of pain into their lives. But we need to be careful when it comes to pain, particularly when we start talking about God's will. How many times have you heard someone who's going through a particular amount of pain and somebody comes up to say, well, it's God's will. God's in charge. God is sovereign over the universe. God has all power. And if that happened to you, it was just God's will. When you start thinking of that idea in its purest form, it starts to fall apart logically. I mean, just to take one example from the Bible in Acts chapter 20, a man named Eutychus fell out of a window listening to Paul preach to midnight. Was it God's will that Eutychus fell out of that window? I mean, did God push him out of that window? What happened? Why did he fall out of that window? He fell out of the window because he was sitting at a window and he got tired. And he fell asleep. That's why he fell out of the window. And we said, remember, God's laws create order and disorder. He found the window, and God didn't stop gravity from happening because God invented gravity. And when he fell out of that window, gravity affects every single person on this earth, and so his body fell to the ground, and Paul went to him and revived him after that happened. We talk about God did this and God did that, and God's will that this happened, so we need to be careful when we start saying those things, that there are other explanations for that, because if we keep applying that to every single bad thing that happens, we make God a dictator, we make God cruel, we make God someone who's in sort of in the sky, just sort of manipulating man at his will, just because he can. Remember that God is not a respecter of persons. Remember when Peter said that. God is not a respecter of persons. Christians must endure pain just like the rest of the world. Think about this. Imagine if we didn't. Imagine if Christians experienced no pain. We never had to feel loss. We never had to feel physical pain. We never had our heart broken. Nothing ever hurt a Christian. Imagine, just think for a minute. Everybody would want to be a Christian, wouldn't they? They said, wow, I want to be a Christian. I want to have no pain. I want to live life without ever feeling any pain at all. I'm going to go be a Christian. But what kind of Christian is that? People would be motivated to become Christians simply so they wouldn't have to feel pain in this life. And that's not faith. That's not obedience to the gospel. That's not a belief in Christ. That is selfishness. That is just selfishness. But that's what would happen if Christians never felt any pain. If God was a respecter of persons, if He hid us from the world and said, wow, the world's going to feel pain, these people are never going to feel pain, you would have phony Christians, people converted to a pain-free world, and that's it. God took His people of Israel out of Egypt and put them in a wilderness. And they were feeling so much pain, God's people were feeling so much pain, they said, wow, why don't we just die in Egypt? I mean, why just simply move us somewhere else so we feel pain? Out here. We're not supposed to feel pain. We're your people. But they did. Why? Because God is not a respecter of persons, and the sum of our faith is not here. It's not about just living a pain-free life here. That's not what the belief, our faith and our belief is about. What are some benefits to feeling pain very quickly? First benefit that we feel that we can get from pain is that we learn lessons. We learn lessons from pain. Psalm 119, verse 71 says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." That I may learn your statutes. In other words, I didn't pay a lot of attention to God's word, and all of a sudden I committed a sin and got a lot of pain in my life. And now, boy, that woke me up. I'm glad that I was afflicted because now I know what God wants me to do. You know you've learned lessons from all the times you've had pain, whether it's pain that you caused or pain that just happened to you. You got a disease. You had an act. Somebody did something to you and caused pain. Whatever it is, you still learn. The Bible said we can learn from pain. Secondly, we learn patience. We learn lessons, and maybe one of those that we simply learn patience. One of the lessons we learn in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "Consider it joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." James says, you get a lot of patience when you go through a lot of pain. It toughens you up. It makes you ready for the next pain. The next experience, maybe you'll handle a little bit better now that you've had a certain amount of pain. And the third thing is we learn humility. We learn lessons, we learn patience, and we learn humility. Remember the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12? He said, "Boy, I want pain-free. I have a thorn in the flesh that just irritates the fire out of me, and I prayed 3 times that God take that away because I don't like pain." Nobody does. Of course he didn't want it. You wouldn't want it either. And Paul said, but Gene, the response was, no, you're going to keep it. You're not going to take it away from you. And then Paul said, you know, when I'm the weakest, that's when I'm the strongest. When I understand my place, when I know that I can't control time and space, when I know that I can't prevent all the pain from happening in my life, when I'm not the God of the universe, you know, that's when I'm really the strongest. That's when I really have the most faith, is when I maintain that humility. Pain teaches us lessons, it teaches us patience, it teaches us humility. But we still don't want it. Not that we sign up for it. Those are after-the-fact things. The Bible is also clear that when somebody's hurting, we hurt with them. We don't minimize it. We don't say, well, somebody else went through that, so they got through it, so you get over it. We don't want to be condescending on anybody's pain. We don't want to minimize anybody's pain. We don't want to say, well, that's just the way it is. That's not the point of this lesson. The point of this lesson is, when suffering happens, when pain happens, we really shouldn't ask why it happens. I think we've covered why it happens. When suffering happens in this life, what you ought to ask is, what do I do now? Not why. Because even if you got the answer to why, you still have the pain. The question is, what will I do now? Will I leave the Lord? Will I ignore and avoid help from Christians, help from physicians, help from people who can help me? Will I get bitter? All those types of questions were what Job was confronted with when in his life, when he was going through all those things. They said, you know, you've sinned. You know, this is just the result of sin. And they asked him all those questions, and he had questions, and all. But we know that said in all that, Job did not sin. He was hurting. He had pain. He didn't like what he was going through. And he said, I'm not going to leave the Lord, even though his wife said that's what you ought to do. Blame him and die. When suffering happens, we don't need to ask why. We just simply need to focus on what do I do now? What do I do now? And the answer to that is never leave the Lord. If you have some sort of pain that you would like us to help you with in terms of prayer, in terms of ways that we can encourage you, we'd love to do that this morning and try to help you. If you are outside of Christ and need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we would love to baptize you this morning. We know that life is difficult. Life is not easy. We all, as we said in the beginning, all feel pain to some degree, in some way. We just simply need to help each other during those difficult times. Whatever your need is, please come while we stand and sing.